Good morning, everyone. Thank you for getting up an hour early and being here. So if you're not in the right place, I think all of you except you, I think, have been here last week. So you know that this is our healing and restoration about power of forgiveness. And raise your hand if you've ever worked in healthcare. Okay, so all of you do know what ADET is? Okay. That's a reminder for me because I have worked in healthcare since I was 14 years old. And you don't need to learn ADET. That's more for me. Oh, I shouldn't keep touching my microphones, should I? I'll break his eardrum. Gotta hold my hands down. So it's just a real good way to interact with people and make them feel comfortable, like it's good customer service. So basically, it's five things: acknowledge, introduce, duration, explanation, and thank. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you're here to take pictures.
Yes, I am.
So thank you for being here. Welcome. My name is Patricia Driggers. Like I said, I've been in healthcare since I was 14. I went back to school later in life when I was in my 40s, and I went ahead and got a bachelor's degree and then a master's degree in adult education. I've taught 2 years at the college level, and for the last 9.5 years, I've worked in healthcare as an education specialist. I started a medical assisting class from scratch. It's still going strong, even though I'm not back in Indiana. I still work for a healthcare organization in Indiana, but I'm retiring on March 28th. I can't wait. So I'm excited about that. So, education and healthcare, they're both my passion. And I was trying to change jobs, and I could get jobs in healthcare. And I could get jobs in education, but I wanted the two to be married together. And so when I got this job as an education specialist in a healthcare organization, it literally was my dream job. It's just that now I'm getting older and and I don't want to work full time anymore. So anyway, welcome. And then I'm going to have my husband introduce himself a little bit. This is my husband, Dave Drigger, in
You lawyers tell.
He's my helpmate, and he's here to help this morning too. So we will be discussing the topic that Brother Hodum did last week about forgiveness for about 35 minutes. That'll leave us 10 minutes at the end if you want to ask questions or anything like that. We'll be out of here by 10:45, so you have time to use the restroom, pick up your kiddos from Sunday school, and get ready for service at 11 o'clock in the sanctuary. So this is part of the pathways of healing and restoration. And this particular topic for spring is on forgiveness. And again, I want to thank you guys for getting up early and being here on time. Let's say a quick prayer before we start. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, God. We ask you, Jesus, for your direction. We ask for your will to happen in the Sunday school classes this morning and in the service this morning. More than anything, Lord, we want you, Jesus, to touch the hearts of visitors or people here that need to grow closer to you or need to learn things in these classes. And we trust your spirit to speak through us and work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Brother Hodum did a really nice overview of basically all the topics that we had for this pathway. These are the ones I'm going to focus on, and some of it'll be a little bit of a review of what he did. We're going to talk about the nine benefits of forgiveness, what forgiveness is and is not. I know he talked on that, some Bible verses on forgiveness, and how to forgive yourself. Now, I don't know that we'll get through all of this today, and if we don't, that's okay. We've got two more sessions the next 2 Sundays, so we're just going to go through. And I will tell you this, I love discussions. I love participation. There's going to be questions in here. Please don't be shy. Lots of interaction. I like to teach in ways that teach to each individual's learning style. So some people miraculously can hear something once and they've got it memorized the rest of their life. I don't think very many people are like that. But hearing isn't always the best. Visual, a lot of people are visual. I put some pictures in here to keep your attention. If you do things, if you talk, those are all ways of learning. So please, I would like your participation and put your 2 cents in if you have any questions or anything about the topics that we talk about. So we're going to start with the 9 benefits of forgiveness. A lot of the information for this section and some of the subsequent sections comes from the book called Forgiveness, The Ultimate Miracle by Paul Meyer. He is like a multi-billion dollar businessman, a Christian. It's all Bible-based. And this picture, why would I put this picture here? We got suckers, okay? We've got one sucker with a frowning face, and then the little mouth changes a little bit till we get to the orange one that's a happy face. Why would I have even put that picture here? We're talking about forgiveness.
Stages of it.
Stages of it, right. So if you're harboring unforgiveness, you're probably going to look a lot like this guy right here, a red, unhappy sucker. But as you work through things, forgiving others or forgiving yourself, what it's going to do is help make you a more joyful, peaceful person and be happier. That's what the goal is. So the 9 things. Number 1, forgiveness brings freedom. So no more chains to hinder your horizontal or your vertical relationships. So somebody tell me, what is a horizontal relationship? What's the difference between a horizontal relationship and a vertical relationship? Does anybody know? It does. Horizontal, do you know?
Relationships would be relationships around us, vertical relationship would be my relationship with
God. Exactly. And he hasn't even seen the PowerPoint. So that's the difference. So forgiveness brings freedom. Freedom in your relationships with each other, relationally, human relationships, and it brings freedom in your relationship to God. So it's going to enhance both of those. Number 2, forgiveness brings power over your will, emotions, and health. Isn't she a cute little superhero over here? Can you not see, Brother Bowen?
Oh, I can. It's just,
this is probably right in the way, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know. It's
kind of... You're fine.
Try that. Is that a little better?
That's better.
Okay. Well, you can move.
I was just trying to bait your husband. He didn't jump.
He's a smart guy. Sometimes. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit more about those different things as far as what it brings power and helping your will, emotions, and health. And here's the 3rd one. Forgiveness is good for your health. So this comes from Johns Hopkins Medicine, an article called Forgiveness, Your Health Depends on It. So physicians actually have a word for people who are sick because they are unforgiving people. It's called grudgitis. They really do. They know that some people are sick because they are bitter and hold grudges. Forgiveness helps people have less stress and lower their blood pressure. And then look at this list for bullet point 3. People who refuse to forgive or hold on to grudges have increased risk of heart disease, cardiovascular illness, cancer, a weakened immune system, diabetes, and depression. That's a lot to be saddled with, isn't it? That doesn't mean you'll have all of them, but you're more likely to have those illnesses. The act of forgiveness lowers your risk of heart attack, lowers your cholesterol and blood pressure, improves your sleep, reduces pain, anxiety, depression, and stress. That's quite a difference, okay? Why would you want to hold on to unforgiveness when you're literally making yourself sick? So that's a big one. Here's our first question, okay? Can anybody give an example of either in yourself or somebody you know where their health improved after they finally let go of a grudge or started forgiving someone or even forgiving themselves? Or vice versa, do you know someone who got sick and you knew something was eating them alive? Cancer. That's what cancer does, right? Something's eating them alive because they're holding on to bitterness. Anybody have an example? You don't have to say who it is. It can be you. It can be somebody else. Any examples of this playing out in somebody's health?
I'm going to say, well, years ago, when I was going through quite a hard time in my life, I was pregnant, going through several stress situations in my life. And I got real nosed it. And was diagnosed with fibromyalgia at that time. But it took them 10 years to diagnose me. But I was living in fear of my life because I was someone was trying to kill me at that time. And she almost succeeded. And some of the adults have tried to kill my daughter at the time. And she was 3 months old. But we survived.
So,
and I did get sick at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everybody has stress, right? That's definitely stress. And stress will make you sick. Stress in general will. And I don't know where, you don't have to tell us. We don't want to know your stage of forgiveness or unforgiveness at that point while it was going on. You probably didn't have a lot of forgiveness. You were busy focusing on saving your life and saving your daughter's life. But stress will make you sick. And they do in particular say that about fibromyalgia, that it's caused by stress. But you know what? Stress kills you. Stress causes everything.
Don't doctors say stress is just about the worst thing?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And who doesn't? Raise your hand if you have no stress in your life. You know, we have good stress and bad stress. There's a lot of stress in our life that's good stress. You need a little bit of stress on your life to get you out of bed when it's daylight savings time. Oh, I got to make it to church on time, or to get to work on time, or show up for work. You know, those stresses are good. What about getting married? Hopefully that's good stress. But then you've got the bad stresses, you know, stress on the job, divorce, death, sickness, somebody trying to kill you. You know, those are bad stresses. So stress in general affects your health. We're going to try to focus more on unforgiveness. Before I close it up, does anybody else have any story in particular about anybody you know that was bitter? Dave?
I don't know about bitterness, just an example of hell. Probably about 13, 14 years ago, I personally went through something where someone did a great offense to my family. It was kind of offense that it set me off since, and again, it affected my mental health. And I can tell you, I had about 3 weeks of my life that, you know, I was wavering because the offense was so great. And it probably took me 2 to 3 years to be able to forgive that offense. But during that time of carrying that, it affected, like you said, it affected my horizontal relationships, because now everything was skewed. My thinking about relationships was skewed because of this offense that happened to me. And then it also, you know, unfortunately, you know, it affected my relationship vertically. And, you know, and if it wasn't for my pastor and time that preached a message that anchored me during that time, you know, my situation could have been totally different, but it was all because of an offense, my unwillingness to forgive. And, you know, eventually I worked through that, but it took me a while to work through, but it caused a mental health issue. Just like you said, it affected my horizontal vertical relationships.
So I got to the point.
And physical issues too, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, so number four, another benefit of forgiveness is it releases your creativity. This is a true story, and I did not know this till I started researching this. Leonardo da Vinci painted the famous painting of The Last Supper. He harbored unforgiveness for an enemy who had wronged him. And so when he started painting this, he made Judas's face the face of his enemy. He really did. And that was good and fine until he got to the part of painting Jesus's face. He couldn't do it. He could not paint the face of Jesus because he was harboring unforgiveness against his enemy. So he couldn't finish the painting. He had to forgive that enemy before he went any further. And I'm think I've got this right. I think he changed the face of Judas to not be his enemy and then went on and finished the painting. And now everybody knows what a famous painting that is. So isn't that interesting that you can hold a grudge or bitterness or unforgiveness and it squelches what you can do creatively? I thought that was a pretty interesting story. So here's going on. Forgiveness restores your relationship with God, your vertical relationship. And I think Brother Hodum brought up this Bible verse last week too. Matthew 16:14-15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we talked about that a little bit before, and I bolded the word if, because I think Pastor might have brought this up too the other day, or maybe it was one of them up on the platform. Somebody brought up that, you know what? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want to be saved? Because this is, if you do it, then God will forgive you. So it, even though we can say forgiveness is your choice, it's up to you, it's not really a choice if you want to do right by God and be ready to meet God. Because it says if you aren't willing to forgive your enemies or people that have done things against you, then God's not going to forgive you. So that's where I don't want you to get confused when we say forgiveness is a choice, because it is your choice. You have a choice whether you're going to forgive someone or not forgive them. But as a Christian, is it really a choice if you want to make heaven your home? So that verse is very sobering. That's something that we need to know about. And the Bible's true, right? The word of God is truth. Number six, forgiveness is easier than unforgiveness. So we've talked about this a little bit. If you are an unforgiving person, it's going to affect you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So your vertical relationship with God and your horizontal relationships, how you feel, depression, anxiety, physical illnesses, things like that. Number seven, forgiveness brings reconciliation sometimes. And we're going to talk about this later on in the class too, and I'm going to have some people come up here and give an example of this. So you can forgive someone, but if they don't forgive you, that means reconciliation didn't take place. You can't control them, right? You can only control yourself. So reconciliation depends on the other person, but you have done your part. So we're, like I said, we'll have an example of that coming up later this morning. So does anybody have any examples? And this can be you, or it can be somebody else, a family member or somebody that you know, where there was successful reconciliation when two people were not getting along, heads butting, somebody harboring unforgiveness, somebody went and said, I forgive you. And the other person said, yes, I forgive you too. Amends were made. Or does anybody have any examples of where reconciliation never did happen? Crystal.
It was my neighbor's husband. His mom walked out on him when he graduated from high school and never spoke to him again. And when he had heart problems. She finally, he had forgave her for years, but she wouldn't get back. And finally, she went to him and asked him for forgiveness. And their relationship was restored, but his sister refused to forgive her mom. And to this day, she never did have a relationship with her mom when her mom died. But her brother forgave. And it was so wild because it's the same scenario. It's in a family that one forgave and the other refused to forgive. And his relationship, he ended up being involved into the hall with him and everything while she was dying. But his sister would not forgive her.
And that was an excellent example because you gave an example of both. In the same situation where there was reconciliation between the son and the mother, but then the daughter never forgave the mother for what she did to the son. That's woo! That's a tangled web, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good example. Thanks, Crystal. Anybody else have an example either way of or a mixed way like Crystal had that you would like to share before we go on? Sister Harrington.
Her son holds a lot of bitterness and he was hurt by a man, and that man, the Lord dealt with that man to contact
our son to ask forgiveness. And he did ask our son forgiveness, but to this day, our son will not forgive him.
Sad. But that man did, you know, God dealt with that man's heart, and that man did his part. So who's the one hurting here? Yeah, the one, yeah, the son who wouldn't forgive. Yeah, it's affecting his health. Yeah, and his vertical relationship with God. Good example. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
Yeah, I had a good business friend. Well, he's a good friend. It was a mentor of mine for a long time. We got involved in a business war. And for some reason, at the very last minutes, they had a newborn business school that lost me a very large opportunity, and I could not figure out why he did that. But we had been friends for 30 years, and that drove a huge wedge between us. And I don't know how long went along, but he came to me, and I thought, you know, it just destroyed the relationship. But probably 6 or 8 months later, where he came to me and wanted to meet. And I went into that meeting with a pretty defensive stance. The first words out of his mouth was, "Dave, I'm sorry." And you could tell it was heartfelt. And I can tell you from the offense I talked about earlier and through that event, I can tell you there's nothing that changes the atmosphere in the room quicker than the words, "I'm sorry," or to say, "You're forgiven." It changes the atmosphere in the room quicker. The same way it does with the Lord. When we come to the Lord and we have a repentant heart, it changes the atmosphere in the room. It changes the it changes your life when you can ask for forgiveness and you grant forgiveness. There's a power behind it that God gives to us to help restore not just that person, but ourselves at the very same time. So because of his willingness to apologize, you know, immediately I forgave. I mean, how could I not? But it restored that relationship, and that relationship is as good as it's ever been because of Christ.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thanks for sharing that. So this author of this book that I got some of this stuff from, this multi-billion-dollar businessman, he has stories in that book. People cheated him out of billions sometimes, oftentimes millions of dollars. And this man is a Christian man, and he chose to forgive every time. And he has stories of, you know, most of them, they were happy to have the money and run. So most of the time there was not reconciliation. But can you imagine? I mean, I realized to a billionaire, $1 million might not be that much, but that's a lot. I mean, he had many instances where people, you know, ruined his business plans, or, you know, there was fraud involved and things like that, but he chose to forgive. So he's on good, steady ground, you know, he's okay, but who knows where those other people are. Okay, number 8, forgiveness brings hope, joy, and a better future. That's much better than holding on to bitterness and being miserable. Wouldn't you rather choose hope, joy, and a better future? Right? And the last one, number 9, forgiveness allows God to bring justice. So this first bullet point, forgiving your enemy puts you above him or her. I guess I don't really like the way that sounds. I'm not saying that you're saying I'm better than you or that you're above them. What I'm saying is it gives you a solid ground to stand on. It's, again, it's your choice. It puts you in a better place. And you'll be healthier, happier, emotionally, mentally, physically, etc. And forgiveness is your choice, but the justice is up to God. It's not up to you to try to straighten things out or to be vengeful, okay? It's not your concern. And I think, yes, we've got, so I've got a quote here from the book, "When you let God bring the justice, it will be more than you could have ever asked or imagined." Some of you might know examples of that. It's like you think, oh, this person did this to me, and is there no justice? There's a psalm that David wrote, remember? Why am I downcast, oh my soul, and complaining about why is it that the wicked prosper and, you know, I'm suffering? And there's some psalms that say that kind of stuff. And we wonder about that. But, you know, the Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust.
He said his foot almost slipped when he looked at the prosperity of the
land. Yes, there you go. Thank you. You quoted that word for word. Yes. So, you know, think about it. It's not up to you to be vengeful. God will take care of it. There are things that may have happened to some of us in this room that we're like, oh, well, I guess when I get to heaven, I'll understand it. We always say that, but then you think, oh, we'll be so happy in heaven praising the Lord. That won't even mean anything anymore. But there's truth in that because God doesn't have any time. He's not restricted to time like we are. We're restricted to this time we live on this earth or time that we were married to somebody for 20 years or you know whatever it might be. But God's not restricted by time. So justice may not happen when you want it to happen. But you've got to trust God and his way of doing things. So taking revenge or harboring a revengeful spirit is never helpful, and it's always hurtful. So in summary, forgiveness does not just happen. It's always you making that choice, whether you're asking for forgiveness from God or being willing to forgive someone who wronged you. It is our job to let go, to forgive, and to trust God to work on our behalf. The Bible says he will never leave us or forsake us. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And that's from Deuteronomy. So choosing to continue being fearful and discouraged means saying yes to possible health issues. Physically, we talked about quite a bit. Mentally, things like depression. Emotionally, having anxiety and fear, and spiritually, it can affect your relationship with God and your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Take care of your relationship with God, and part of that process is taking care of yourself. Taking care of yourself is being a forgiving person. Does everybody get that? It affects everything. It affects your health, mentally, physically, emotionally. It affects your vertical relationship with God. It affects your horizontal relationships with others. Okay, any questions about that section before we go on? Any other comments or anything?
I think there's times that you, I'll just speak for myself, you think you're past an issue, and then God has a way of letting you know that you have it. And, you know, just a personal example, the situation I dealt with 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago. And God, I was in prayer on Tuesday night here at the church, and God asked me, he says, do you love this individual? And I said, I forgave him. God said, that's not my question. Do you love your brother? Because he's a brother in the Lord. I mean, I might have my issues, but the Lord said, do you love him? I'm like, well, I forgave him. Not the question. And just so you know, God asks rhetorical questions. He knows the answer. And he's and I'm like, no. And God says, you have to love your brother. Mm-hmm. So I made a point that when I pray for him.
Great.
I can't change him.
Right.
And to my knowledge, he really probably has not changed much. I can't change him. I struggle enough changing myself. Mm-hmm. I'll just deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that reminds me of something God did to me. Now, if you're chastised of the Lord, be thankful because that means God loves you, right? So he does speak to us. So I had committed an offense, oh my, probably 10 or 15 years earlier, but I never confessed it to a person. I mean, I was forgiven by God, but I never confessed it to a person. And we moved to a different church. And a different pastor, excuse me. And he just kept saying something over and over again from the pulpit. And I'm like, oh, it just hurt like a stab in my heart. I'm like, God just kept talking to me through this pastor, you know, 15 years later, that I need to confess that to someone. And I did. And boy, was it the hardest thing I've ever done. But I did it, and I felt like it helped me it helped my relationship with God because I actually listened to him. I didn't close him off and say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like, oh, he's speaking to me. And I did it. And it helped. I think it helped the person that I told. I think it helped them too. So God knows what he's doing. He is the healer, right? And he knows what's best. Did you have a comment?
No. I was going to make a comment based on what I was talking about. I know when I talk about, you know, I'm passionate about forgiveness just because the process of forgiving and everything, what it did for me in my life. I can tell you that this is my personal opinion. You can't forgive unless it's through prayer. You got to be able to get there through prayer first in order to get true forgiveness. That's my personal opinion about it. And I can tell you, when I went through that spell in my life, it was a 3-year spell that I carried this baggage. But what Todd just said a minute ago, when I started praying for that other person, God softened my heart through that prayer. And I started praying, God, help this person, you know, and be with them, strengthen and encourage them, bless their lives and everything else. And it took a while, but after praying for that person on a regular basis, then I was able to forgive that person. So.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? I lose my voice. I have. This happens to me sometimes. Bear with me. See why I gave up teaching that 3.5-hour class 3 times a week. Can't talk. Okay, so I know Brother Hodum, we're getting close to ending time, but you guys have been really, really good about asking questions and communicating, so we might not need 10 minutes at the end. So I think I'll go ahead and at least go through this next section. Is everybody okay with that? Okay, so what forgiveness is, it is a choice. We talked about that. Forgiveness is acknowledging the hurt. Okay, what are some examples of hurtful words or actions? Just throw some out there. Anything. Everybody has something that maybe their parent or a sibling, I have several statements that they've made that you can't get the words out of your head because it does hurt. And it's not that you haven't forgiven them, but if you can't, we'll get to this later. You can forgive, but still not forget. Just throw them out there. What's some hurtful words or actions that somebody could have done that really hurt you?
Someone making you feel like you're never good enough. You don't belong.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about words. What about the lack of?
Yeah. There you go.
My parents never said I love you. Mm-hmm. Never. Yeah. And I bowed when Tina was pregnant with Kelly, that was not going to be my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you all see me with Zoe. I kind of love that a little bit.
Just a little bit. Anything else? We remember though, right? Think about when you were in grade school on the playground or playing dodgeball and you never got picked to be on the team. I mean, there's all kinds of things that, you know, you still... It still bothers you. Hopefully.
Third grade blooded black school. I don't know if they knew because I was quitting the public school and going to Christian school. If they did it, that reason why they did it. But they gave me a letter and they said, "You're so ugly. You got the dog contest."
Oh, wow.
I was in fourth grade and I remember that as if it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a story. There's a man I know. And he was in kindergarten, and he told a little girl that she was cute and that he wanted to kiss her. And she went, and it has affected his whole, he's never gotten married. I don't know if that's the only reason, but I mean, those things hurt. I mean, you remember that, you know, that's rejection, you know, it hurts. So those are some examples. Go ahead, Crystal.
My dad was like, Todd's parents, like, when I was growing up, it was never, I'm proud of you or I love you or anything. And I just took it as, okay, that's just the way he is, you know. My kids come along, heavens. he was so affectionate and told, you know, was telling me, loved him and I'm like,
is this the same man?
And so, you know, it took me a while to forgive. Mm-hmm. So, and that I didn't harbor my feelings toward my children because they're getting what I didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I worked through that and we had a good relationship. We always had a good relationship, but it was better once I come to peace with that and we kind of talked about it. But because he was like, well, I was always proud of you.
Raise your hand if you have similar stories of Todd's and Crystal's with parents. Okay, we.
You don't know how blessed you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think my dad ever said the words, I love you.
I think the most traumatic event in my life was my dad freaking out when I was in seventh grade. It's the first time I did make the honor roll because we were starting algebra and I got a 79. And he was just freaking out on me, wanted to ground me. My brother was failing, didn't say a word to him. And I went upstairs to my room, took every honor roll, everything I'd ever gotten, sat down the middle floor of the trash can and ripped them up one by one. The only good thing that came out of that, at that point, I stopped trying to please my father. Mm-hmm. I shed that burden.
So we can forgive them, but you can't forget. But we'll talk about this later. If you still, it's hard with parents because even while I'm listening to you guys talk, it's bringing up old feelings. And my parents are gone now. There's nothing I can do. My dad died of COVID, sat in there in the room, and he didn't have his hearing aids in. He had, you know, a ventilator, and we couldn't tell him anything, you know. And it's like it's over, but those feelings are still there. And that's a hard thing because we can't help it that we can't forget. But we're going to talk about it later. Still having those upsetting feelings, that's something to pray about. So I'm ready to fall on my knees right now, just listening to these heartbreaking stories because it's bringing back heartbreak into my life. So we all deal with that. But how you deal with it in your relationship with God, praying, prayer, seeking God's peace, because I think what's going to happen, I think I'm sensing that I prayed for weeks about this class and I've prayed, Lord, let your spirit move in here. And I'm already sensing the Holy Ghost speaking to our hearts. Cause I'm like, I've been studying this and praying this and living this forgiveness topic for actually a couple months or more. And feeling things that I didn't realize I was going to feel. Like I do literally feel like just falling on my knees and praying right now. So we need to make sure our relationship is right with God. And we talked about God has a way of bringing those things to our attention. I think maybe this might be happening for us. Don't be depressed or think, oh, this is a depressing class. I don't want to deal with this. God loves us. That's why he chastises us. So there's a reason you guys are in this class. There's a reason I'm teaching this class. God is always dealing with our hearts because he loves us. He's trying to do a work in us. So I'm sensing that that's going to kind of maybe be the theme here. So, yes, you can add one more thing and then we're going to stop.
You know, and it's a book I read 20 years ago. It's called Necessary Losses. And it talks, but one of the chapters was called Closing the Gate. And that's what I had to do. Closing the gate is you're out of that pasture, you close the gate, you lock it, you don't go back. And I had to do that with the issues of my parents because I didn't want to bring that into my family, you know, because a lot of times we bring our past into our families and we don't even realize we're doing it. It's the learned behavior. And through God, we can learn that we don't have to carry those behaviors on.
Right, like a generational curse.
Yes.
Yeah. We have 5 more minutes, and I really like how you guys are opening up. Please, let's open up. If there's anything you want to talk about, we can pray for 5 minutes. I mean, I literally feel the weight of the Holy Ghost, you know, unctioning me to pray. So this is your class. If anybody has anything else that they want to talk about or ask questions about, now's your chance.
I just want to add a comment or one. You know, when we carry unforgiveness and bitterness in the heart and carry that around, or the hurt and thing that we choose to carry, it's like carrying a suitcase that's loaded with blocks. It's heavy. And you carry that with you in every relationship, every place you go, the various places. But once through prayer and God working, I know in my own life, once you're able to get through that and be able to say, God, I forgive that person. And sometimes you're saying that to God before you say it to a person. I mean, it's almost like you got to work it out with God first before you say it first. And once you get that worked out in your spirit, and it's just like you're just now, you're unloading that suitcase. Mm-hmm. It just keeps getting higher. It keeps getting lighter. I know you got two more lessons to teach, and I haven't seen one.
Yeah, he doesn't know what you want to
learn. So, I do know this forgiveness is a process. It's definitely a process. I mean, you can forgive someone today, think you've got it underneath blood, and something happens that pops back up. But here's what the power of that is this. You've already learned to forgive. It's just going right back to God again, saying, God, hey, was this affecting you today? Let me keep forgiving this person and praying for that person. It's a process. Oh. Sometimes, you know, I talk about this since after 13, 14 years ago. Doesn't mean that I still don't deal with it today. Or it's a whole lot easier to deal with because I know God allowed me to forgive that person. I granted that person forgiveness. And the Bible says lay down every weight and sin. And I think, and I just thought about this, maybe the reason.
Pass that around. I want everybody to hold this bag. We didn't get to do our example, but this is what we're talking about. I want everybody to imagine carrying that with you. I think this will just help it. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Todd. Go ahead. This is.
You know, I think why the scripture and God is the purpose that lay down every weight and sin, because I think we carry far more weight than we do sins.
Mm-hmm.
That does so easily to set us.
Right,
and
right.
You can't lay a weight down until you know you're carrying it.
So, just to get the point across, next week we'll get to it. I was going to bring a couple people up here. Don't look in the bag because it might spoil what we're going to do next week. But just to give you an idea of what Todd was saying, it is a weight. Would you want to carry that around with you all the time? No.
I could give you. In the military, you carry about 60, 70 pounds of stuff in your back. But when you get ready to go in the battle, the first thing you do is you drop your backpack because you can't go into battle with all that on you.
Right. Or David, when he tried to wear Saul's armor, you know, he just went without armor because it was too heavy, right? And it didn't fit him.
It wasn't.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you guys don't want to carry that bag through church while you're worshiping and lifting your hands? Do you want to exercise your hands? Okay, anything else?
Good lesson.
Well, thanks. Well, I think we should say a quick prayer because I mean, I know I'm feeling burdened that I need to pray. I can't wait to get in there now and pray. And I didn't expect this, but that's God, right? That's what God does. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed, and we'll carry this on into the sanctuary, and who knows what God might do, even through just this class. Because if God's dealing with our hearts now, and we open up to him and let him move, how could that affect the service this morning? You know, let's be mindful of that. Jesus, we come before you humbly, God. We know, Lord, that we are nothing, that we need you for every breath that we take, God. We give our lives to you, Lord. Help us to learn to turn our fears and our hurts to you, God. The losses we've experienced, Jesus. Help us to be molded and made the way you want to make us, for you are the potter and we are the clay. Lord, we give this day to you, God, and we want our lives to please you, God. Help us to be open to your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you for being such great listeners. And just think, next week you'll be a lot more energetic because you'll get your normal sleep. You're welcome, Crystal. Thanks. Mm-hmm.